Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Welcome to be glad to be with you. The Cubs lost. Very depressing. But it's only one game out of seven, and they've got to win four, so they've got to win four out of the next six, and they can do it, because unlike our current administration, the Cubs are strong, and they have good, solid leadership, okay? And, you know, I'll tell you something. Every day we get new information on this email scandal, and it was about, I guess, a year ago or so that the question was asked of Mr. Obama, when did you learn about the email scandal? And he stated that it was when everybody else learned about it. And of course, that's turning out to be false. That is turning out to be another non-truth, courtesy of the Obama administration. But I think what we're seeing here is some interesting things about what's going on. And we all know that the Clintons are as slippery as jello, okay? That you can never quite pin them down. And they are, by far, almost the Bonnie and Clyde of negotiation and of stealing and of putting themselves in a position to succeed while they're doing it. Because apparently they must have some really nasty data on Mr. Obama, because for someone, Mr. Obama and Mrs. Obama, who in rumor have it cannot stand Hillary Clinton, they certainly have gone to bat and have campaigned for her as if they truly liked each other. Now, I cannot remember any sitting president ever going so much out on the campaign trail to support this as a candidate. I cannot remember a time where you had a sitting president not working on what he's supposed to be working on, which is trying to fix and maintain the economy and the overall rules and laws, but he's out almost every day flying around on our money to get Hillary Clinton elected to the White House. Now, to me, the logic behind that does not make sense. We all know that President Obama did not want Hillary Clinton running for president. We all know that he wanted Biden. Now, I understand Biden lost his son, and obviously a tragedy. Okay, if anybody's ever lost a child, I can't imagine, because I have not, but I can only tell you I know about the devastation of how it happens, because I lost a niece. Okay, so I can understand that that could have been the true reason. But as I look at it and look back at it, it looks to me that Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton must have so much dirt on the Obamas that they are almost being blackmailed into supporting Hillary Clinton and bypassing all of her nonsense and ignoring all of her lies. How many people, let's look at the coincidences that have happened in this whole election. You know, if you remember Lemony Snicket's series of unfortunate events. Well, I make the price at about 1,000,000 to 1 at what's happened and how we've gotten to where we've gotten. Okay. What was the probability of Obama, first of all, giving such a ringing endorsement to Hillary Clinton. What was the probability of that added to Bill Clinton somehow in the middle of somewhere running into Attorney General Loretta Lynch 3 days before his wife is going to go in front of Congress and with the FBI? Okay. What is the price, okay, of the Benghazi not have been a problem, okay? Because what difference does it make? Okay. Now, is that making sure that President Obama has her back? Okay. Is that part of the dirt that he has, that she has on the Obamas? Okay. A man who's so worried about his legacy that he really doesn't care much about the country. To me, it doesn't even seem like he likes America. That's just my opinion. Okay. But it certainly feels that the Clintons must have so much dirt on the Obamas that they're just undoubtedly backing her with the energy that would be only that if he was running. I don't know that he campaigned that hard for himself. Okay. But yet here we are, okay, coming to the end of the home stretch. And there have been so many events that have been 99% of the people in the world would have gone to jail after those events. Yet here's Hillary Clinton, the actual favorite to win the president of the United States. Okay. And, you know, I wrote this in July that Hillary would win if she won and Obama would pardon her, because she has to be guilty as sin. Okay. You cannot continue to tell me that all of these things are a total coincidence. Okay. One coincidence, maybe. Okay. I say that everything that's happened is over 1,000,000 to 1 shot. Okay. And I say that Obama knew about these emails because supposedly he was emailing her on that server. Okay. And if you look at it, you go, okay, why would he do that? So the only logical explanation is that she has dirt on him, because it seems like the Clintons always have dirt on somebody, which is how they continue to slither through every possible problem. Even the impeachment of Bill Clinton couldn't get through the Senate, which allowed him to stay president. But Congress wanted to impeach him. The American people wanted to impeach him. And it's funny, because all he had to do is say, I'm sorry, I did it. I'm sorry, I did it. And he would have been fine. And we wouldn't have had all this time. But apparently, the Clintons certainly feel that they're above everybody else and that their lies are acceptable. Now, are we going to continue? Do we want another 4 years of the Clintons? I don't know. You ask yourself that, okay? If you want another 4 years of lies and stealing and having a chance to be destroyed as the country we know and love, then that's your choice. But I got to tell you, the lies are compounding. The stuff is getting away from everybody. And we continue to ignore it. This is The Bubba Show. I am Todd Bubba Horowitz. We're going to step out of here for a break, but make sure you go to Liberty. You know, Liberty, that's what we want. Liberty. LibertyTalk.fm. Get you all the Bubba shows, as well as The Sporting Edge. We will step out of here for a break. We'll be right back with more of The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz will be back right after the break. Back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And what is going on, everybody? And as we talked about some of the things that are going on the stump in Washington, I thought it'd be time to listen to a little Bill Whittle and what he's got to say about some of the debates. So let's go right to Mr. Bill Whittle right now.
Well, the first Trump-Clinton debate is behind us, and the thing that struck me so much about that first debate was not so much what Donald Trump said to Hillary Clinton, but rather what he did not say. So let me give the conservative response to many of the points that Madam Clinton made and just kind of went unanswered.
First, we have to build an economy that works for everyone, not just those at the top. That means we need new jobs, good jobs, with rising incomes. We also have to make the economy fairer. That starts with raising the national minimum wage and also guarantee, finally, equal pay for women's work. I also want to see more companies do profit sharing. If you help create the profits, you should be able to share in them, not just the executives at the top. How are we going to do it? We're going to do it by having the wealthy pay their fair share and close the corporate loopholes.
Well, Hillary, so many falsehoods in so little time. So let's start with the $15 minimum wage argument. Now, some cities like Seattle have instituted a $15 per hour minimum wage law. Turns out that small business owners, you know, the kind of people that actually pay minimum wage, did not reluctantly lurk down to their underground money caves and come up with more sacks of gold stolen from the workers. Because $15 minimum wage results in the loss of jobs. People cannot afford to pay this, so the hours of existing employees are cut back, jobs are taken away, people are fired. In fact, if you look at something like McDonald's, when they demanded $15 per hour minimum wage, then you get an automatic kiosk to take people in and take their orders, and everything just basically disappears. So do the jobs. You know, a minimum wage job was never supposed to be, ever supposed to be a living wage. It was designed for people, mostly teenagers, to basically get started in the job market, and it's a place to start your work resume and not end your work resume. Now, as far as unequal pay for women, you know, the old 80 cents on the dollar argument, well, that's a gigantic lie, and you know it, Mrs. Clinton. Now, it is true that if you average all of the male salaries and all of the female salaries, men do make more than women. And the reason that they make more than women is because they put in longer hours at higher paying and often vastly more dangerous jobs. The idea that someone at Walmart could say to a woman applicant coming in for a job that the job pays $35,000 a year for men, but only $27,000 for you, sweet cheeks. Well, that idea is absurd, and it's also illegal. It's been illegal for decades, but needless to say, knowledge of and obedience to the law doesn't seem to be one of your primary virtues. Now, as to your idea of profit sharing of corporate earnings, I think that's absolutely terrific, and I fully support it. You know, as a matter of fact, right now, in the middle of your hometown of New York City, there's a place where workers can right this second own pieces of a company's profit or their losses. It's called the New York Stock Exchange. They've been practicing this radical progressive idea since May 17th of 1792. That's 224 years now. So you might want to update your files a little bit. I'd be happy to shoot you an email about it, but promise me you'll keep it under your hat, won't you? And finally, the central issue of your party's shameful class warfare rhetoric can be demolished with a few simple facts. And here it is. The top 1% in terms of income pays 45% of all tax revenues. Let's be crystal clear that everybody heard that. The top 1% of income pays almost half of all of the income taxes in this country. The bottom 35%, the bottom third of Americans essentially, pay no income tax at all. So you are, in fact, absolutely right, Hillary. The rich do not pay their fair share. They pay far more than their fair share. And if we taxed them less, then that money would go to invest in real businesses and create real jobs instead of going to politicians in Washington who gin up envy and resentment in order to achieve the power and the money that they are either too stupid or too lazy to go out and get on their own.
Remember where we were 8 years ago. We had the worst financial crisis, the Great Recession, the worst since the 1930s. That was in large part because of tax policies that slashed taxes on the wealthy, failed to invest in the middle class, took their eyes off of Wall Street, and created a perfect storm.
You left out a few things here. Back in 1977, Democratic President Jimmy Carter passed the Community Reinvestment Act, which was designed to put money back into poorer neighborhoods and communities. Not a bad idea. However, over the years, the government eventually forced banks to write mortgages to people whose credit and income would not otherwise have qualified them back in the good old days of sound and reasonable risk-reward calculations. Now, when the government essentially guaranteed bad mortgages, they completely changed the incentive structure of banking. Banks no longer cared about making sensible loans to people who could pay them back because the government was going to pay off even the bad loans. So now the smart play for a bank is to write as many mortgages as possible. And when Republicans repeatedly pointed out this growing danger throughout the mid-2000s, Democrats called them racists who hated the poor. So Democrats caused the problem, then Democrats took credit for solving it, which as near as I can tell is in fact pretty much the entire history of the Democratic Party.
Take clean energy. Some country is going to be the clean energy superpower of the 21st century. And here's what we can do. We can deploy a half a billion more solar panels. We can have enough clean energy to power every home. We can build a new modern electric grid. That's a lot of jobs. That's a lot of new economic activity.
You're actually going to trot out this old saw again? Didn't President Obama promise us unlimited prosperity from this new green economy miracle 8 years ago? And didn't he promise it again 4 years ago? Matter of fact, didn't President Obama take $500 million of taxpayer money, that's $500 million of your money, and give it to a solar cell company called Solyndra? And didn't $500 million of your money go poof after Solyndra then went bankrupt? Mrs. Clinton, your party is so financially stupid that you poured money into a company that went bankrupt after you stole $500 million from the American people in order to prop it up. Solyndra went bankrupt because the entire idea is bankrupt. Renewables do not scale up to even 5% of our country's total energy needs. You know that. As a matter of fact, the giant Ivanpah solar plant outside of Las Vegas, Nevada, is very heavily touted by your party's president, sucked up another $1,500 million of your money. And now we find it's not able to run without continued government subsidies. Why? Because the electricity generated by the giant Ivanpah solar plant in Nevada costs about $200 per megawatt hour compared to about $35 per megawatt hour for clean burning natural gas. Now, what's worse, much worse than these taxpayer-funded experiments in economic failure, is that you Democrats do everything in your power to prevent access to cheap, homegrown American energy. You won't let us build new nuclear plants using abundant meltdown-proof thorium reactors, and you won't let us mine the coal under our feet or drill for the oil under our feet or frack the natural gas under our feet. Cheap, abundant energy costs in America would combat the cheap, abundant labor costs of places like China. But despite your talk, you don't care about bringing jobs back to America, because if you did, those people get rich and then they start voting Republican. Instead, you say that we have to commit economic suicide and condemn generations of people, in fact, entire cities, to poverty and crime and hopelessness because of climate change. So let's talk a little bit about some undisputed historical data and not computer models that have to constantly be readjusted in order to comply with, you know, reality. Ladies and gentlemen, at the end of the Cretaceous period, let's say about 80 million years ago, the center of what is now the United States, Kansas, let's say, was not 2 inches underwater or 2 feet underwater or 20 feet or 200 feet. 80 million years ago, Kansas was under 2,000 feet of water because the polar caps had completely melted. Now, current CO2 levels are about 400 parts per million. People like Mrs. Clinton are having conniption fits about it getting to 450 parts per million, but back 80 million years ago, CO2 was not 10% higher than it is today. It was 1,000% higher at about 4,000 parts per million. And there were ferns and trees and pterodactyls and plesiosaurs in Kansas. That was 80 million years ago. Here's the point. 80,000 years ago, that exact same spot in Kansas was not under 2,000 feet of water, but rather under 10,000 feet of ice. 10,000 feet, that's 2 miles of ice. How much ice is that? Well, imagine a jetliner in the distance flying over Kansas. They're at 30,000 feet, so one-third of the way up there, solid ice. One-third of the way up to the airplane. Now, my question for you, Mrs.
And Bill continues to go on, and of course, it's really pretty good. We're going to come back after the break with more on Bill Whittle going against Hillary Clinton. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Make sure you go to libertytalk.fm and download the show every day. We're going to step out here for a break, and we will be right back after the break with Mr. Bill Whittle, The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz.
I don't need baggy clothes or rings in my...
Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And, of course, we are sharing some time with Mr. Bill Whittle, and he's got a question for Hillary Clinton. Let's go hear what he's got to say.
Ms. Clinton, is this, whose coal plants and whose SUVs and whose private jets caused this somewhat significant climate change? I'll wait. Mrs. Clinton, the Earth's atmosphere has negative feedback mechanisms that stabilize temperatures, because if it didn't, well, Earth would have burned to a cinder or been frozen into a solid ball of ice a billion years ago.
Well, I think cybersecurity, cyber warfare, will be one of the biggest challenges facing the next president, because clearly we're facing at this point two different kinds of adversaries. There's no doubt now that Russia has used cyber attacks against all kinds of organizations in our country, and I am deeply concerned about this.
No, I'm sorry, no. No, you're just not going to get away with that, Mrs. Clinton. If you're deeply concerned about spying and cyber warfare and information leaks, then you would not have posted secret, top secret, and above top secret information in an unsecure server in your basement, where anyone, and I mean anyone and everyone, even individual hackers have come up with some of this information, let alone agents with the resources of China and Russia. They've obtained the most sensitive, detailed information about America's diplomatic stance, about our military assets and their state of readiness, about our global strategic plans, not to mention the names of intelligence assets that would be actual, real people who are going to die now or soon be killed because you wanted a private email server that was not subject to Freedom of Information Act requests. You utterly, criminally disregarded federal law so that you could sell State Department influence to the tune of about $1 billion of criminal activity in the Clinton Foundation and a personal fortune of at least $100 million for a lifetime of public service. If you cared about our nation's security, you would not have misplaced or lost no less than 13 personal devices, personal mobile devices, each one loaded with classified information. You would have just lost them, and you most certainly would not have lied directly to the American people time and time and time and time and time and time again about just how badly you have damaged this nation's security for personal monetary gain. Now, there's a word for people who sell their nation's security for personal monetary gain, and you and I and the American people all know what that word is, don't we?
I have put forth a plan to defeat ISIS. Our military is assisting in Iraq And we're hoping that within the year, we'll be able to push ISIS out of Iraq and then, you know, really squeeze them in Syria.
Hillary, while you continue to hope to squeeze them in Syria, ISIS is busy murdering people in Paris and Brussels and Orlando and San Bernardino, and almost every week because of you, innocent people are dying. They're dying because of you. You created ISIS, you and President Obama, because when President Obama took office, ladies and gentlemen, back in 2009, Iraq had been stabilized and there had not been a single American killed in Iraq for 5 months. But you, as Secretary of State, were unable, or more likely unwilling, to conclude a simple status of forces agreement in Iraq. I say unwilling, Mrs. Clinton, because we have damn near 100 of these things with countries all around the world. However, you and the president announced that we would be leaving the Iraqis all alone, and within a very short period, the defeated, scattered, ragtag remnants of what had once been AQI, Al-Qaeda in Iraq, which had been defeated, utterly destroyed by American troops during the Iraq War, you let them become ISIS. And worse than that, you could have stopped them at any time. But you and the president didn't, because you couldn't face the political humiliation of putting boots back on the ground in Iraq after you took credit for pulling them out. And they grew, and they grew, and they grew because you created them by not leaving troops in Iraq. And if that's such a bad idea, by the way, Mrs. Clinton, we've had U.S. troops stationed in Europe for 60 years, and we've had troops stationed in Korea for a little over 50 years, and you refused to do it for 5. You launched an unauthorized war in Libya. You armed and have had American aircraft fly air cover for Al-Qaeda. You may remember Al-Qaeda from their appearance 15 years ago in Lower New York. Oh, and your husband, by the way, had at least one chance to kill Osama bin Laden before the attack, but he declined on the advice of White House lawyers. I think we've had enough lawyers in the White House for a while. Under your direction, Mrs. Clinton, the State Department has become so incompetent that when you first met the Russian ambassador, you gave him a toy box with a big red button marked reset in Cyrillic letters. Only it didn't say reset. They got it wrong because you and your State Department were so arrogant and uninformed that you could not correctly translate one Russian word in front of the entire world in order to make a bad joke. Everything that you've touched overseas has turned into a disaster. And given what you've said here earlier tonight, it seems pretty clear to me that if you were given the chance, the same catastrophes would start to occur right here at home.
The other day, I saw Donald saying that there were some Iranian sailors on a ship in the waters off of Iran, and they were taunting American sailors who were on a nearby ship. He said, you know, if they taunted our sailors, I'd blow them out of the water and start another war. That would not be good judgment.
Mrs. Clinton, you are absolutely 100% totally and completely wrong here. And it isn't just more incompetence and arrogance. This attitude will cost American and Israeli lives, many lives, because history shows us again and again and again that tyrants and dictators constantly test what they feel to be decadent democracies for weakness. You want to know what is the most heartbreaking statistic, in fact, in all of human history? It's simply this. World War II didn't really start in 1939 when Hitler invaded Poland. It started on March 7, 1936, 3 years earlier, when, contrary to the Treaty of Versailles, Adolf Hitler sent a small number of German troops into the demilitarized Rhineland. After the war was over, the Allies had access to the internal records and memos of the German OKW, that's Oberkommando der Wehrmacht. It's essentially the German High Command. And we have found memos from the German High Command saying that had those troops met any resistance, a company, a squad, a marching band, maybe even a single policeman who steadfastly refused to get out of the way, any resistance, and the German generals would have shot Hitler, and 50 million lives would have been saved if we'd only shown this much courage and this much resolution, this much. So when Iranian gunboats, or Russian fighter jets for that matter, come dangerously close to U.S. forces in international waters, that's a test. And if we back away from that test, we'll do the same exact thing that was done with Adolf Hitler. We'll move back, and there'll be a more dramatic test, and a more dramatic test, and people like you will go back and back and back and back and back until finally war is inevitable. I would immediately declare that any unauthorized enemy vessel approaching within, let's say, half a mile of a U.S. warship will be given one warning shot, and if they continue to approach, they will be sunk.
And that is kind of the views that we need to take. Again, I have said this for years. We need to be the aggressor. We can no longer be on the outside looking in. We have to be the ones who take charge and go after it and not sit back waiting. We are not the ones that need to be waiting for things to happen, but we are the ones that need to take charge, go for it, and take over, because we are the strongest nation in the world. We have the best chance to take care of business. And if we don't do that, then all we're really doing is letting things sit and waiting for the problem to happen. And the best course of action at times is to be the ones who take charge, who become the aggressors to wipe out the bad guys, because the bad guys are the ones that are creating the most amount of trouble for us. And until we step up and rip this ISIS apart, and until we take them out, which needs to be done, this will be an ongoing story consistently forever, because there is one way out, and that is to take back America, to take back the world, and to regain our spot as the number one with power, with action, and with who we are, which is we are the American people. We are America. We are the strongest nation in the world. But we have become soft with our newfound policies that only reward you for doing nothing. And this is not the way that we have to move forward. We have to move forward swiftly with vengeance and wipe out all the people that are trying to basically put America down, because we will not be put down by these people. We need to be strong. We need to have our military take care of business. We need to retake control of the entire world and let everybody know that we are not going to stand back and allow you to build these ridiculous enemies against us, and that you do so at your own peril, and we will kick your ass. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. Make sure that you go to libertytalk.fm and download the show every day, as well as listen to the rest of our programming there. We are going to step out of here for a break, and we will be back right after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, will be right back. Welcome back. Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends, The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. And you know, a lot of good points brought up by Bill Whittle, but you know, let's look at the real points. Let's look at what's going on in this country. Let's look at what's going on with the economy. You know, we're in the heat or the middle of earnings season, this being the biggest week. And what are we seeing? We're seeing some dramatic moves. We saw yesterday Under Armour had good earnings and the stock got absolutely crippled. But we've seen other big companies that have beaten down expectations and rallied. So we continue to reward companies for basically stealing opportunities from you and me. As they buy back their stock, as they fire employees, as they cut down their staff, as they quit spending money to stimulate the economy, as they quit hiring to stimulate the economy, all under the blessing of the President of the United States. Now, are we really that dumb that we can't figure out that everything, every policy that this administration is trying to pass is really just another way to eliminate the middle class from the system, create more socialism in this country, and basically take control of everything, allowing a few major companies to take the reins and take all the money. Okay. We have a market that continues to hang higher and not based on anything but the Fed and the entitlement programs. Now, I think that we have to, again, very much like the problem with ISIS and the problem with some of the other things we're experiencing, cybersecurity and those problems, we need to now take a look at becoming stronger, not by being able to give free money to everybody, not by a by willing to let people stay home and make more money than they make going to work at a job, but by continuing to force people that can work to go to work. Why do we let these people not work? Okay, now again, I'm not talking about people who cannot work. I am not talking about this true disabled Americans. I'm talking about the scammers of the system that continue to beat down what we have and continue to basically steal money right out of yours and my pocket with no regard, and with an administration that lets it continue to happen. What is it going to take for those assholes to wake up and say, hey, we need to change what we got going on here, because what we got going on here is destroying America, not pushing it forward. What we have to have here is money, or the velocity of money that starts to flow through the system instead of getting locked up in the richest pockets. What we got to have here is an economy that truly runs by the free market society of price discovery and free markets. We have to quit with the bullshit of having things that don't make sense, that do nobody any good, but it does get votes for the Democratic Party. Okay? Because when you continue to pay people to do nothing and stay home, what kind of economy are you creating? We have a bigger percentage, we have the biggest percentage in history of people that are doing nothing, that are collecting more money than a lot of the people that have that are going to work. Where is that equitable? Where is the equal balance in life and in the way that we're supposed to be? We are seeing the taxes, the attempt to create inflation, the attempt to devalue my currency. Okay, I do know that these very same events are the reason that we had the Revolutionary War. These events are the very cause of leaving Britain back in 1776 and before. These are the same things that continue to destroy the ability to be a capitalist. Okay, now, you may not like capitalism. If you don't like it, that's fine. Okay, but this country was built on capitalism. This country was built on free markets. Okay, it was not built on some garbage that an administration decided that it was time to give away the house. Okay? We cannot continue to survive at the rate that we're giving money away. Okay? If you continue to give it away, you are going to continue to take away your strength and your power, because you are weakening your, with every dollar that you give away, you are weakening a country. You are weakening an economy. And I can't tell you, we could not be in any worse shape today if we tried. Okay? So we can talk about the only thing that has had major growth since 2008 is the stock market. And there's nothing wrong with having a strong stock market. But we are continuing to allow weak companies to stay in business that should be out of business. We have destroyed the competitive balance of wanting to create the best product. And if we stop that, then we become nothing more than crap. Because without the ability to have free markets, without the ability to have a system that competes to make the best product at the best price, we end up like the rest, weak. And you know what? I'm tired of being weak. I'm tired of paying my fair share to let people stay home and not work. I'm tired of reading and hearing about ISIS every day when they should have been wiped off the planet years ago. I'm tired of these ridiculous battles and the defense that this administration uses while lying through their teeth. I'm tired of having a candidate like Hillary Clinton who wants to put together four more years of the same stuff. I'm tired of listening to the crap that's going on. And you know what? We're running out of time because the natives are getting restless. The people that are most affected now are getting restless. And if you don't think that the potential of another revolution in this country is not possible, then you better think again, because you cannot continue to destroy lives the way you're destroying them. You cannot continue to destroy business and weaken your economy, okay, by depending on a central bank to always be there to bail you out. You cannot continue on the current pace of where we're going, because all we are doing is, with each and every day that passes by, we are weakening our abilities to be who we are, the strongest, best country in the world, and by far the only place where someone can be truly free. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Make sure you go to libertytalk.fm and download the Bubba Show every single day, as well as the Sporting Edge on the weekends. That will do it for today. We're going to step out here for the day. We will see you back here tomorrow. Same time, same station. And we'll probably be in the same mood. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Have a great day, everybody. Thank you so much. And go Cubs, go.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.